Been in Hip Hop, Mixtape Review, Busy Wright, The Golden Age. So for everybody that's been wanting for us to do this one, here it is. I'm gonna give you my first experience when I listen to this. The mixtape was kind of just like background noise at first, when I very first listened to it. Nothing caught my attention the very first listen until I got to About That Life. That beat, that flow, it caught me. And I was like, holy shit, maybe I've been missing something. So I restarted the mixtape at that point, and I really started paying attention to Dizzy. And this is what I like about artists. Like in the Hall of Fame review where I said, I didn't connect to Big Sean. I don't know what made him who he is. I don't understand Detroit from his perspective. I get Las Vegas. You know what I'm saying? I get what made Dizzy who he is and how he's grown as an artist from his last projects to this one. He wanted to become better, and he covered a multitude of topics, and that's what I like. I like artists that aren't just bound by one lane or one topic of conversation. These guys can go and speak on a lot of different things and at the same time display your artistry, which is rapping, your flows, your subject matter. And I think Dizzy really caught the epitome of the golden age, because I feel, and shout out to Six, the producer, because I felt his range on production on this was pretty tight. Like the Flavor,
what's the name? It's just called Flavor.
Flavor, you know what I'm saying? It brought me back to Biggie and Craig Mack, Flavor in Your Ear, you know what I'm saying? It was kind of play on that. And, you know, I felt like he really had a lot of golden age hip-hop influences in this, and is also modern too. So this golden age of hip-hop that I feel that we're starting to turn back to. So I thought he really did a good job of bringing it all together. It was long as hell, but you know, I guess he had a lot to get off his chest, and you know, but I enjoyed it.
You need more standout tracks?
About That Life was a standout track. Maintain with Joey Badass was a standout track. Untouchables with Logic and whatever, Mike.
Is that why you asked? Because you knew he was going to say something. Ooh, my baby Logic. Ooh. That's the only time you paid attention, huh? That's when you really perked up.
Nah. I know that voice.
let me see what else. World Peace, definitely a standout track for me. Can't Stop, Won't Stop. Step Your Game Up with Jaren Benton and Kato on the track. Shout out. Yo, I think really what I really, 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 really like about this joint is the production. Top to bottom, Willpower, Six,
you know, Hopper.
Uh-huh.
DJ Hopper,
Kato. Everybody brought what they did, you know what I'm saying, to this project. And it was just a great project for me. Great project. I think out of everything that we're gonna review today, this is by far my favorite one.
I agree with FIFO. I think the production, I think he has an accessible sound for the mainstream, I think, which I can probably see him, you know, maybe blowing up or whatever, or being his fan base growing faster, because I think his sound is so accessible with the beats. I think for me, most of my favorite tracks are the ones with features on them. You know, the one with Jaren Benton, Step Your Game Up. I like Flavor. I like, you know, Untouchable was cool. I even like the last track, New History, where he kind of like talks about him kind of grinding into the hip-hop scene and trying to create his buzz up higher, literally living in Las Vegas, which is really not known for a hip-hop scene. So, but overall, yeah, I thought it was cool. I mean, yeah, of course it was very, very long, but I'm glad, because this is my first time listening to a full project by Dizzy Wright. So, you know, I heard a couple of songs, I think, from Smoke That Conversation, so I was hoping, like, I hope this is not no weed album. I hope he don't make this 22 tracks about weed. But I'm glad he switched up his subject throughout. He had to. With 22 tracks, he had to. You know, him talking, you know, Welcome Home talking about his dad coming home from prison, and what's that, Perspective talking about girls being thirsty and dudes being thirsty on Instagram.
On Instagram.
Yeah, so, yeah, you know, it was cool. He kept it interesting for 22 tracks at least. But, you know, me personally, I still thought it was too long, because when I see 22 tracks, I'd be like, okay, it's going to be some fillers. Like, BTT, you know, filler. I could have did without that one.
So, how many fillers did you feel was on this?
About eight. Probably about eight off the top of my head. So you take, 22 subtracted by eight. Yeah, that's all. Like, you could have gave me 13, 14 tracks out of it. But overall, it was cool. I mean, you know, it wasn't. He wasn't super like a great MC, but it was still a fun listen. You know, I still got something good out this mixtape. So, hey, that's what I thought.
He's not. I think he's trying to get away from being classified as that weed rapper, and I think that's why you see a change in, you know, the songs that he's kind of putting together on this epic. At long as mixtape is like a double album. The shit was so fucking long.
You sound mad about this.
Yeah, I didn't like that at all. But, you know, I get it. I mean, apparently he just, like people say, had a lot to say. He didn't have to say it all on this one tape. But
could have trimmed it down.
Yeah, he could have chopped it up a little bit. But overall, though, I think he, you know, as far as picking out the beats and that he wanted to rap over, I think he did a good job of that to really capture what he was trying to accomplish with this tape and this return back to the golden age, which is, you know, kind of was a conscious effort by him. So I think he needed the sound to do that. And, you know, I think he added the songs, the subject matter to go along with that, you know, in a sense. So I think what you have is you have the tape starting off with that golden age type, golden age-esque sound. And then I think right in the middle you have that modern day trap type milk. Shit, you know. Yeah. And then he kind of closes it out with, you know, songs that kind of more or less fit the mold of what he's trying to do with this tape.
What do you think about that Wyclef Jean song, that feature? Why you laughing? Did that catch you off guard?
Yeah, because I
You think he was reaching?
Wyclef, I think that's one of the fillers, right? Because I think he could have took that shit off.
Why would he take that off, man? What track with Wyclef? Why would
anybody okay. Well, no, I get the name. Right. Yeah, I get him leaving.
He left it on there because Wyclef did. Either that song could have been absolute ass trash. He just left it on the album.
Because it's Wyclef.
Yeah, no,
I get that, but what I'm saying is that it's a filler. It's kind of one of those fillers that you
want. Wyclef gonna beat your ass. Saw that picture of him in his speedo on that bike.
On that fuck you up.
You ain't ready.
All shiny and stuff.
Beat your ass with some baby oil. Yeah. What you gonna do then?
It'd be hard for me to capture.
Stay still.
But yeah, no, I think overall, I think I didn't know what to expect when I listened to it. And, you know, I'll be honest, B4 kept pushing for us to review it. And, you know, overall, I think he did a good job and, you know, putting together the project, the 2 hour long mixtape.
I mean, I hate to echo, but that was my main issue with this shit. It was too fucking long. Nobody wants to do anything for that long except sleep. Like, this shit, it doesn't matter how good an album is. If it gets to be 98 minutes, you should be like, that's an issue. Like, an hour max for any rapper. I don't care if you're LP. I don't care if you're Brother Ali. I don't care if you're Slug. I'm not sitting with you for an hour and a half. The way I disagree with you guys is that he had too much to say. Because a lot of the songs, he was talking about the same shit. Like, he could have trimmed some of the songs that had the same topic. And he could have trimmed some of the songs where the beats sounded the same.
Such as?
Well, let me go to this long list. And I didn't actually take notes on this album, so I may have to get back to you on the ones that I think could have been trimmed. But I could tell you songs I didn't like.
It's okay, man.
That's weird. Okay, Fashion, I didn't care for. Progression, I didn't care for. And actually, the song right after it, Perspective, I didn't care for. BTT, I didn't care for. World Peace, I didn't care for. Now, there are songs that I actually did like. Flavor is when I really pay attention. Because the first song, I was just like, whatever. Yeah, I'm not. I don't know what to do. Yeah, track one.
Yeah.
That one, I was just like, it's okay. But then track two, I thought was really good. The issue I've always had with Dizzy Wright is he's always sounded lost to me. Like, he always sounded like he didn't really know where he fit. And I don't like weed albums. They bore the fuck out of me. But I've always thought that Dizzy Wright was a good rapper, like a really good rapper. This album in particular, I think he finally found a sound that works for him. Like, he sounds, even on the songs that I didn't really care for and that I could say could be taken off, they weren't bad songs.
You can tell he found his niche.
Yeah, he found his pocket, finally. Like, if he sticks with this sound, I think that out of all of the funk volume, that includes Hobson, that includes Jaron Benton, I feel like he's the one that could break out and be the head of that crew. But I don't know, man. I can't say that this is an amazing listen just because I think a lot of the songs started to sound similar. And I just can't listen to an album for an hour and a half. Just can't. No, I definitely think this is a solid project. This is I enjoyed it. It was just when I got to the halfway mark, I remember looking at my iPod being like, oh my God, are you fucking serious? Yeah, like I'm only on 12. Are you fucking kidding me right now? There's still another 10 songs? He could have stopped at 12. No matter who you are, when you make an album that fucking long, you're going to have filler.
But it's a mixtape, though.
Okay, no matter who you are, if you make a mixtape that's that long, you're going to have filler.
And see, I'm not buying this whole list of mixtapes so you can put however many tracks you want on it. I still think it just, there, at some point, it becomes too long.
Yes.
Period.
Absolutely. Even for a mixtape.
Yes.
Even for a fan of Dizzy Wright, I think this might be too much for them. Because it's an hour and a half, dog. Mm. Like, it's an hour and a half.
But you know, one song I really did like was Maintained.
With Joey?
Yeah, because if you listen to it, the flow he had, it reminded me of M's If I Had $1 Million, that track. It almost sounds like a remix or something, but I thought his flow on that track was really good. There was a nice variety on here, but it's just, it wasn't enough to make it passable for this long. Cut half of this shit, I would have gave this a fucking two thumbs up.
But you know what, Rock? To answer your question, I give it a pass because it is a mixtape. And for me, it was definitely, it was good enough for me to pass it. I just want to say shout out to all of the producers on it. I definitely think everybody that contributed to this project definitely did their thing. Shout out to Dizzy, you know, for progressing as an artist, you know, not just staying in one lane, busting out of that and, you know, making yourself better. I always appreciate that. And for really making a really, really, really dope project, man, I really fuck with it. It definitely bumps in the whip. Definitely. I ain't got nothing else to say.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, I liked it. It's a solid project. You know, of course, just like everybody else, it's just, you know, a little too long for my personal preference. But overall, you know, he has some gems on there, and he has some songs where I was like, it could be thrown away. So chop it down to about 13, 14 tracks. I'd be happy, but overall it was a solid project. I can see him, you know, like Mike said, getting being the forefront artist of funk volume and getting into that mainstream because he has that accessible sound. I just think he can flow good on that mainstream sound, so I like it too.
Dizzy sounds more confident and more comfortable than he was on Smoke Talk Conversation. I think with Smoke Talk Conversation, he was kind of just making songs, being that wee rapper. I think with this one, you know, you can definitely tell there's some growth and some maturity and what he's done since that time. So, and I think this is, like Mike and B both said, I think this is kind of where he fits and where he feels comfortable fitting. So, that being said, he put out definitely a solid project. Yeah, kudos to Dizzy, man. You can go download this shit on deadandhiphop.com if you haven't heard it. And that's it, man. So, you know, good job.
I want to clarify, the songs that I said could come off, again, they were not bad songs. I just don't feel like they were as good as the really good songs. And I feel like if he took off the songs that weren't as good, this could have been an incredible project. That's what I was really trying to say. Another thing I do like about Dizzy is he finally got more introspective. He finally got more content driven. And I like that Dizzy. The weed Dizzy kind of bored me. I don't need another Wiz Khalifa, but I'm finally glad that Dizzy broke away from that, found his pocket, and on one album, I like how he can go from I'm just this braggadocious rapper to the rapper you hear on Maintained to the almost ignorant rapper you hear on About That Life. I like how Dizzy can do that, and he doesn't sound insincere. He sounds like, this is just me. Like, I can cover all of these aspects and do it well. Do it better than a lot of other rappers. So I give kudos to Dizzy. I definitely agree with Ralph. I give kudos to the production. I think it could have been a little more varied, but that's neither here nor there. But yeah, this is a good project, And I think Dizzy's gonna break out. I really do. No, this is no shot against Hobson or anybody else, because I love those dudes too. But I feel like this is gonna be Dizzy's year. I feel like Dizzy's gonna break out. If he keeps playing his cards like he played this mixtape with shortening it a little bit.
Him being part of the freshman, you know, class.
Yeah, you know, yeah. He's gonna break out. I really feel like Dizzy's gonna break out. And after seeing him live, I feel like he has that energy on stage too. Like you see him, he's like kind of this goofy guy with the silly hair, and he's just always laughing and making jokes. When he's on that stage, man, the fans love him. Go ahead, Dizzy, man, do your thing, man.
One other thing too, Mike, he's partnering and making music with the right people that compliment him.
He is.
Because a lot of times I feel like artists don't, they get these people just because they're a big name or they can help me out, but he's partnering with people that, yo, I could fuck with you lyrically.
Yes.
Then I could come over here and do some ignorant shit. Like, so I think that he has the right people around him.
I agree with you 100%. Because you know what? He could have gone to an MMG. And I feel like they would have steered his sound the wrong way. Like, his sound is what MMG should be. Like, he's got that good almost club sound.
Mm-hmm.
Where they, I feel like they're still struggling to find that. And I don't see how Dizzy found that in one mixtape, and you got like 8 motherfuckers in MMG, and they're still trying to find this sound. So, yeah, I agree with you 100%. He's got the right people around him. He just doesn't have that cat that's like, too many tracks.
Right.
You know, but other than that, that's it. Good job, man. Good job, Dizzy.